Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
How you doing?
God. I'm doing good, just like you.
That's right.
Amen. Blessed. Blessed. Yes.
Blessed.
Thanks for
the
God. The God. I love it. Yeah. He is the best. I tell you, there's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Nobody
right.
like him. So how you been?
I'm great.
How's your week?
It's going good so far. You know how they say, what day is it? What day is it? Hump day. So, you know,
I know, right?
God's day.
I
feel good. I got the hump up on my back. I'm ready to, you know, straighten it up and hear that word that we about to bring forth today.
Man, God is awesome. That's all I can say. God is awesome. And let him be glorified. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I do want to just say, man, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for being here, you know, being able to just even make it through these times and the seasons, you know. It's been a little rough, but God is still on the throne, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good thing about going through. You know God is in control. You know, once you give him your life, you know, the devil gets no glory out of nothing. God is still in control. Yeah. He's still leading us and he's still guiding us. So, man, I am so grateful. But, yes, it's been a work week for me, too, for me as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to give God some glory again tonight. I thank God for all the listeners, for everybody that's listening. We're going to do what we normally do. We're going to start it off with our prayer. We're going to come on in and just we're going to share what the Lord has placed on my heart to share and to, you know, talk about. And we're going to let the callers call in and share what they, you know, maybe something tonight what we're talking about, maybe related to something that they're going through, somebody they know going through, you know, we just hope we're helping somebody, you know. So it is what it is, you know, we're in this together. We're in this together.
Right.
But again, the good thing about it is that Jesus lives. You know, he lives. He ain't dead. He's yet living in spite of. God is good. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just want to thank God for the listeners because we've been had some excellent listeners. We've heard some excellent stories, some excellent testimonies that has been calling in week after week after week. And those that don't call in, you know, they have shared their testimony through Facebook, online, just personally, may inbox me and send me a message and just let us know. So that's our goal. Our goal is to, you know, tear the devil head off, you know, tear his kingdom down, destroy it, because that's what he thinks he can do to God's people. You know, but we're here tonight and every Wednesday night from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. to empower somebody, to empower each other, you know. So I just want to say, man, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to share, to be able to just to be open, to be real to God's people. You know, we're on the radio. This is live. Nothing is cut. Nothing is pre-recorded. This is live. It's real. God is real, and we are real. And our situations are real. But I thank God for the word of God, you know,
right,
that help leads us out, that helps guide us through our situation, every situation, every circumstance. He's good. He's good. Would you agree?
I totally agree.
Yeah. He's good.
I didn't. Hey, look, if I didn't agree, something wrong with me.
Man, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised, boy. We're here to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus said he came to do. And we're on his side, so I'm riding with him. He said he came to destroy the works. I came to destroy the works right along with him. So what we going to do? We're going to start off in prayer. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we're going to come on back with our topic. And our topic today is getting free from stinking thinking, from the way we think, and knowing or not knowing that sometimes the way we think keeps us in bondage. So we're going to come back with that topic. So it's a deep one. And it's been a lot of warfare getting to this place today just to share this. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue and we're going to pray, you know, God deliver. Okay? So let's go ahead and let's start off in prayer. And we want to acknowledge God. Father, we just acknowledge you first in everything that we do. For your word declares to acknowledge you in all your ways, in all our ways, and you shall direct our path. And so, Father, even on tonight, God, we ask for direction, Lord. We ask that you direct our path, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And, Father, we ask that you forgive, Father, each and every listener, Father, each and every last one of us, Father, that's in covenant together and partaking together in agreement together, Father, in the name of Jesus, that stands together to destroy the works of the devil, God. We ask, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that there be any sin, Father, or shame or guilt, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we decree and declare now that there is no condemnation, Father, for him or her that's in Christ Jesus, Father, that walks after the Spirit and not after the flesh, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, you said in your word, God, that even as you forgive, Father, you throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, Father, never to remember it again, Father. Let that person that's listening, Father, know that once they've said, God, forgive me, that you let them know and let them be confident in, Father, in the forgiveness, Father, that you are just that graceful, Father, that you are not like man, God, that when you ask for forgiveness from a man, Father, that, Father, that they say out of their mouth they forgive you, but they bring it back up. So we decree and declare that, Father, they will know, Father, that you are not like man, God, that God, once they come to the throne of grace asking for forgiveness, Father, that they are forgiven, Father, never to remember it again, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that, God. We thank you that you are merciful, God. We thank you, Father, for your anointing and your power, God. We thank you for every listener, Father. We thank you, Father, that they will incline their ear, Father, to you, to your heart, Father, that they will hear you, God, and not me, Father. They will, God, their ears will be open, Father. Their heart will be open. Their mind will be open, Father, to the things of God, Father, and everything that you have in store for them, Father. Everything, Father, that you have in store for them, God, let them see that, Father. Father, even on today, God, let them know who they are, God. Restore identities on today, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, because you are our restorer, God. Father, redeem your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, for you are our redeemer, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Let them know, Father, you pay back, Father, that they do not have to give revenge, Father, but but you pay back, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. And, Father, we just want to say thank you on tonight, God. We ask, Lord, that you download, Father, new manna, a fresh word, a fresh anointing, Father, on tonight, in the name of Jesus, God. Download something fresh and new in us, Father. Let everybody that's listening, Father, let them be refreshed, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Destroy yokes, God. Lift burdens on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, that we ask, Father, right now for your anointing to destroy the works of the devil, God. Destroy his works, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Use us like never before, God. Use us like you've never used us before on tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And, Father, we decree and declare that every chain will be broken, God, on tonight, Father. We decree and declare that freedom, Father, is our portion, God. We decree and declare that who the Son sets free is truly free indeed, God. And so, Father, we thank you for freedom on tonight, Father. We thank you for a new mindset, Father. We thank you for a new heart. We thank you for fresh revelation. We thank you for a new word, Father. In the name of Jesus, word our mouth, Father. Let us be respectful and kind to one another, God. Let us speak with grace, God. In the name of Jesus, Father. Father, you said we are the salt of the world, God. And, Father, you said if the salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing, God. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we decree and declare we will not lose the salt, Father. We decree and declare that we will not lose our light, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we bless your name, God. Father, we bless you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Father, that you're even sitting in heaven right now, that you're sitting in high places, God, that you sit on the right hand of the Father, Father, and that, God, we're sitting up there with you, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you that we believe it, Father, and we receive everything that you said and everything that you've already done for us, Father. Father, we forever give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements. Do you need or know someone that needs advertising at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com. The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Amen. Are we back?
Yes, yes, we are back. Amen.
Ooh. You ready, huh? You ready to go into what we're about to talk about? Matter of fact, what is it for us today?
What we're going to talk about, the way we think. And the topic is just getting free from stinking thinking. The way we think.
Getting free from stinky thinking.
From thinking. Yeah.
Thinking. Thinking is thinking.
Yeah. I know they probably thought I was going to get religious with it. Why she used that word? Yes, stinking thinking. Because sometimes our thoughts just stink. They don't smell good in the nostrils of God at all times, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why we named it stinking thinking. We don't want to think that way. We don't want to think that way no more, you know. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get started. And I want to come with this scripture here, with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I said verse 5 at first, but I think I'm going to read. I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 6, if that's okay with you all. I'm going to read 1 through 6. And, of course, this is Paul, who wrote the book of Corinthians. And in this chapter, in this particular path that I'm reading, you know, he's talking about spiritual warfare. And the reason I chose this topic is because, or the Holy Spirit led me to choose this topic, is because we all go through warfare. And sometimes if we're not in Christ, if we don't understand the things of God, we don't know it's spiritual. We don't think it's natural. You know, we don't think that this person is after us, per se, instead of knowing that the enemy has used this person, you know, to attack or out of ignorance, you know. So ignorance of the person also may be thinking that you're trying to attack them. So it's a lot of stuff we go through sometimes. It'd be a lot of warfare within each other, within families, within children, parents and the child, whether it's a son or a daughter, warfare within the husband and the wife, warfare within leaders, you know, leaders and members, spiritual warfare with your leader, even at work, you know, your boss. We can get it all mixed up thinking that it's the person. And sometimes depending on our day, we don't know how the next person going to act or react, you know. And the thing about it is, I'm not going to get all deep and act like we all act the same, react the same, and even respond the same at all times. Because I didn't find it to be true. Because caught at the wrong time, some of us will respond in the wrong manner. So a lot of things that we're going through, majority is spiritual. You know, it is spiritual, but sometimes we don't know that. We don't know that. So I really want to talk about it to just enlighten someone, you know, man, boy, girl, child, whoever it may be, you know, or even if a leader or a child or the parent of a home, the leader in that house, or the leader on the job. Even if they're listening, then they'll know I want to, you know, give them what God gave me, so they will know how to handle certain situations, you know, when they come up again or if it ever happens again. And most likely it probably will, because, again, it's a spiritual thing. It's spiritual. Even though we're in the natural, even though we're in the flesh. So I want to go ahead and start reading. And I'm going to start again at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1. And this is Paul talking to the church, to the Corinthians. And he wrote them a letter, so he's not in their presence. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, also another word for arguments is imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing everything, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen.
Amen.
Father, make this word alive. Make every word alive on this page in the name of Jesus, Father, even as we talk about the warfare. He's pleading, basically just letting them know, listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So in other words, it sounds like they was fighting, that there was a dispute, an argument. But he's trying to let them know that the weapons of our warfare, this warfare that we're all having, that we're going through, it's not a fleshly thing. You're not going to win in the flesh. That's what he's basically saying. We're not going to win this war in the flesh. We have to go in the spirit. It's not a fleshy thing. It's not a carnal thing. It's a spirit thing. How do you go in the spirit? Through prayer. Through prayer. How do you pray? From your heart. If you have the word of God in you, pray still from your heart with the word of God. But if you don't, you still have a mouth, a tongue, you have a heart, and God still hears the prayers. So you pray from your heart, asking God, you know, for the strength not to fight in the natural. Because sometimes if somebody, let somebody touch one of our children, in reality, are we going to react in the spirit all the time? Or are we going to react in the carnal, in our carnal nature? Sometimes you can get ready to respond in the natural, but then the Holy Spirit might pull your coattail and catch you and say, hey, stop you. And say, no, don't say that or don't do that or don't respond like that. As many times he's told me, that's the spirit, don't entertain it. Because I was ready. I was ready to jump straight to it. I was ready to entertain the thing. Because I was ready to let him know, you're not going to talk to me like that. You're not going to, ready to fight back. But he said, no, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold. Okay, Then he says, casting down imaginations. What are imaginations? Imaginations of what are you imagining in your mind? What do you think of? What's in your head? Imagination is the faculty or action of forming new ideas or new images or concepts of external objects that's not present. Ain't that something? Imagination. He said casting down imagination. In other words, that thing that you just formed in your mind, that you just made, you formed it in your mind, but you made it look external, like it was an outward appearance. Casting down those imagination, that thing that just came to your head, that probably came straight from the devil. Somebody, say for instance, somebody just said the wrong thing to you, and you didn't say anything back, but they're walking off, or they've left, or they've hung up the phone. And then you think to yourself, like, I know they did not say this to me. What nerve? They got a lot of nerves. Now, I should have did blah, blah, blah. Those thoughts right there, God don't want us to entertain. Those are the imaginations. Cast them down. Cast them down. Then he said, every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The word of God. Anything that exalt itself. One main thing is pride. I'm not going to let nobody talk to me. You know who I am? You know, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. Ain't nobody going to disrespect me. The blood of Jesus. The devil. You know, we get all religious. Every high thing. Pride step right on in. That's a high thing. Because God don't like pride. He said a prideful spirit is ready for a fall. Is ready for nothing but a fall. So that's why he said, cast them down. As soon as those thoughts come, cast them down. Cast all down every imagination, every high thing, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's the will of God, the word of God, the power of God. He said, and bring it to a captivity. Bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. So in other words, when we do this thing, we have to use the word of God. We have to use the power of God because we can't do it within ourselves. The natural man can't do it, and sometimes the natural man don't want to do it. Again, I said it in the beginning, the natural man, it wants to fight back. Like, no, who do you think you're talking to? I'm going to use this as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the hot dog stand today for lunch to go get me a hot dog. So, you know, we work way up north over there by O'Hare, and so it's a lot of Caucasian in the area. So as I'm standing in line, this hot dog stand, the line is long. So me and another lady, she goes in the door before me. She's Caucasian, but she holds the door for me. So I stand in line behind her. Another older man, a senior citizen, I'm going to say he probably had to be in the 70s, near 80. Comes out of nowhere. He had been in the restaurant before. He comes out of nowhere and said, told me, I need to get behind him. He's going to get behind her. So I just looked at him like he's crazy. Because me and her came in together. And I guess he was in the wrong area in the line. But he, I had to think about it. I said, wow, God. So he stood there for a good 30, 40 seconds in my face, side by side, and told me I need to get behind him. Immediately I knew because of my skin color that I should, he thought I should be behind the last one in the line. And I just stood there and I just looked at him, and I just continued to be on my phone, and I didn't budge. And in my mind, I'm telling you, in my imaginations, my thoughts, I said, God, if he say one more word to me, he finna get it. Because immediately, you know, I went to go see the movie The Butler. And then understanding that this stuff is true and it's real, this is some stuff that our parents went through it all. And, hey, even though we know slavery somewhere, not slavery doesn't exist, but the prejudice is still in the heart of people. That we got to pray for these people. And I'm looking, and then all of a sudden the Lord let me acknowledge his age. He was almost 80 years old. So I guess he was still stuck in time. Thinking that I'm supposed to be in the back of the line. And I was just like, wow. Wow. You know, I was just saying, oh, like, man, well, he was for real. But he saw I wasn't moving. And I wasn't playing, and I was going to stand on that. But my thoughts tore him. When I started to think of how they did our forefathers and, you know, and all the people that went before us that made the way for us to have all this freedom, all that they died for and fought for. And I'm saying to myself, he done lost his mind. Let him say one more thing to me. See, my thoughts start, my imagination, everything start, you know, after a while. Now, it's over and done with now, but I'm ready. These thoughts, they were not the thoughts of God. Because now I'm like, okay, yeah, he lost his mind. He may still be prejudiced in his heart, and there may be some more, but they have laws to defend me now. So I'm like, okay, if you say one more thing in this restaurant that's considered prejudice, I'm going to make it known to the owner of this restaurant. And not only am I going to make it known, I'm ready to go off because I'm taking it personal now. I'm ready to take it to another level because now I'm taking it personal. When all the time, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual fight, not a carnal one. But because I already knew what they had done to Martin Luther King and all the rest of them, I'm taking this personal now. Now, I ain't no more in the back of the line or the back of the bus. Those days over with. But I had to acknowledge his age. And I was like, wow, he was serious.
That's right.
But I had to, again, cast down those thoughts. Okay, Lord, forgive me. Okay, I cast down every thought, every imagination, all these things that's driving in my ear, that's telling me you should say this, you should say that, you should, you know, the enemy going on in my ear. To what? So I can assassinate my character. So I, you know what I'm saying? So I won't look godly or sound godly. Forget looking godly, sound godly. Looking godly in the spirit realm. To test me. To act a fool. Because though he was wrong as two left shoes, I thank God that he still allowed, that he allowed me to contain myself. I just looked at him, and I didn't even respond. But after it was over with, I thought about it. See, the thoughts kept coming. I thought about it. I kept thinking about it. Then all of a sudden, I started getting offended. When it first happened, I wasn't offended. I just stood there. I was standing on what I believed. Hey, I'm the next person in line. You know, casting down thoughts. Casting down imagination, because thoughts and imagination will get you in trouble. Because it's a fleshly thing. The enemy wants us to react in our flesh. He wants us to react in the carnal, in the natural. Yeah, I'm going to tell her she needs to be behind me. That's exactly what he said. Get behind me. And I'm looking like, no, Satan, you get behind me.
Right.
Because I'm not moving. But because I dwelled on it a little bit too long, I started calling people. Now I'm like, oh, do you know what just happened to me? Because now, I'm dwelling on it. I'm offended. And now other thoughts begin to come. Evil thoughts. Because the enemy want me to feel a certain way about these people. You see what I'm saying? So my heart could be like his. Wicked. Evil. And I think, I'm like, you know what, Lord? It's all good. Forgive me for even dwelling on it. You know, I'm like, it's a hurtful thing that people still feel like this. People still act like this. But, hey, I got to keep my mind. Because that's what the devil is after. He's after our mind. That's the majority of us, we are controlled by our mind, the way we think. That's how we act. We act according to the way we think.
That's right.
And our body shows it. Our body language begins to show how we think. Let somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time come in your presence. And you knew y'all had an argument or a disagreement, or immediately the enemy starts talking. Now you can either react out of love, and say, you know what, bygones are bygones. I don't care. I haven't seen this person in a long time. I'm going to go hug her and let her know I love her. Forget that. Or that other voice that says, don't hug her, let her hug you first. See what she's going to say to you.
Sometimes they go with that, don't they?
Sometimes they go with that. They let, it's like we, because I've done it before too. I don't do it anymore, but I've done it before. It's like, okay, we allow that other power to get in our ear, because the power that we are turn around and react to is not greater than God. We just go ahead and take that power because that's what we used to. We're used to reacting in the flesh instead of in the spirit. And so we are, well, you know, I'm not going to say nothing to her. She ain't say nothing to me. I'm not going to call her. She ain't call me. Instead of picking up the phone, saying, how you doing? How's everything going? You know I ain't talked to you in a while. You know, but this, but that, but that. And sometimes, even in the natural, even in the spirit, we don't know what somebody else is going through. But I'm not going to call because she ain't called me. Or I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm not going to say hi. Or if I see him, I'm going to turn my head and go the other way. Those things are not God. I don't care how godly we are. I don't care if you prophesy, pray, lay hands, cast out devils. It's still not God. And I'm checking myself, even in that area. It still ain't God. The word of God is right, even if nobody ever lives it. We got to come up to this word because this word's not going to come down to us. And so basically, it's a mind thing. And so what the Lord was showing me was, he said, Tiffany, be careful what you think. And I said, huh? He said, yeah. Even though you don't say things out of your mouth. He said, my word said, if you think a thing, I'll do it. Have you ever thought something, Dennis? Have you ever thought about something? Man, I wish God would do this for me. And you never came out your mouth and said it.
All the time.
And he turned around, and he turned around and do it. And you were like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Lord, thank you. I didn't even ask you for it. I didn't even get a chance to say it. But because you thought it, he cared that much about what we think. And so he told me, he said, if you think it, be careful what you think. That's where the scripture comes in again. Cast it down if it's not godly. Cast it down if it's not me. Cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, making that thought obey Christ. No, devil, you're not going to make me think like this. You're not going to make me talk like this. I'm going to bring it into the obedience of Christ. I decree it and I declare it. And before you know, because I tried it, before you know it, them thoughts are gone because they've been overpowered by God. They've been overpowered. Because if you're not careful, they'll drive you. Those spirits will continue to ride you if you let it, if you think on it. And instead of casting it down, you turn around and entertain it. Before you know it, you done opened the door to one spirit. Now you're about to open the door. He's going to bring his buddies with him. He's like, yeah, I got her. Or I got him. They entertain that thought I just put in their head. Say, for instance, your wife, wow, she been here all day. She ain't even cooked. That's what the devil's saying. And you ain't asked whether she tired. You haven't asked what happened. You don't know what kind of day she had. You haven't asked her what kind of day, how was your day. Oh, Now, instead of casting that thought down, saying, oh, devil, get out of here. Sweetheart, how was your day? You know, anything wrong? Just start asking questions. Sometimes we didn't change the talk. Oh, you didn't cook? Bam, the devil got you. Now, because she's probably had a rough day, she's offended. What? You ain't asked me how my day was? Another, you understand what I'm saying? One wrong thought entertained will pull down an entire family, household, relationship, covenant. It'll tear it down. It'll bring it down. Now, instead of saying, okay, Owen, you having a rough day, you're a little tired, do you want me to help you with dinner? Yeah, a different response. Responding different instead of entertaining the thoughts of the devil, entertaining the thoughts of the enemy. Oh, she called. Or you waiting on your friend to call, and they said they was going to call at 7:45. I didn't even call. Well, I ain't going to even call. You don't know what happened between that last phone call and 7:45, the reason they couldn't make the call. How about praying, saying, Father, wherever they're at, I pray that they're safe. I pray that the angels be released around them in Jesus' name. Lord, cover them in the blood. Father, whatever they may be going through, they may be going through something and don't want to talk to you about it. May not want to talk to anyone about it. But our thoughts create a whole nother world. The imagination, they form. I'm going to give the definition for imagination one more time. The word imagination means the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. Now, that's imagination. The word image is a representation of the external form of a person or thing in art or a physical likeness. Now, it's letting you know what you're doing in your mind. You're forming stuff. You're creating your own new idea. You formed a whole new image, a whole new concept of an external object that's not present to the senses. Ain't that something? That's deep.
Yeah.
You done created a whole another world of what's really happening, of what's really going on. Thoughts are, and then the word cast, casting down imagination, casting down on thought, means to throw it down, to pitch it, to fling it, to hurl it. Throw it down, cast it down immediately. It can't be entertained, not 1 second. The minute it comes, it has to be cast down, it has to be immediately thrown down. That idea that the enemy just tried to form. And the thing about it is, our thoughts are powerful. If you think a thing, he'll do it for. That's how good God is. But that's how powerful your thoughts are. So imagine if we think wrongly about someone. It may not ever open your mouth. You may be mad at them. And this is for the saved and the unsaved. Because we all have been guilty of it, and we all have done it. I hope she can't even make it to church. I hope they run out of gas. I hope they, and you saying anything in your mind. This person over here now in warfare, and they don't know why. They fighting, can't get to church. Ain't got no gas in the car because you're thinking. Because your thoughts that you have toward. The Bible says for God's thoughts toward us are of peace and not of evil. to give us an expected, Jeremiah 29:11, to give us an expected end, a hope in the future. That's how he thinks toward us. It's our thoughts toward each other. If he's thinking like this about us, he's thinking peaceful about us. Peaceful and not evil. Just so that we can have an expected end. So in other words, that let me know if he thought another way, that end that we're looking for, that hope. When we think evil, we're not looking for the results of hope. Because he said his thoughts toward us are peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end, to give us a hope and a future. So if he turned around and started thinking evil about us, we're not looking to see at the end a hope or a future. We're looking for destruction. And sometimes our thoughts toward one another will bring on destruction and cause more warfare than it will cause peace. Some people right now are going through warfare only because people are thinking a certain way about them. Their thoughts toward that person are not pure. Because somewhere the enemy has crept in the mind, the thoughts, the heart, and to entertain it, open the door, let them on in. That she thinks she the stuff. God using her, I'm better than her.
Wow.
That might be just her season. So what if you're better than her? Maybe you're not humble. Maybe he's still working some things out in you. So why not celebrate that person in their season? So when your season come around, you won't be standing there by yourself. You'll still have friends, because the Bible says in order to have friends, you have to first make yourself friendly. But if you're sitting back having evil thoughts, then guess who? Where you gonna end up? You're gonna end up alone. Because you're not having peaceful thoughts towards your brother or towards your sister. And the one thing, one principle of God I've known to be true is you reap what you sow. So if you sow good seed, think good seed, when harvest time comes, you're going to reap that what you sow. So when harvest comes, all your harvest that you get, you're just like, wow, all these lessons, all these good things. Instead of when harvest comes, you're just like, why is this person acting like this toward me? Why does this person do that to me? Why does this person say that to me? Think about what you sow. Did I sow that? Because you're really just getting back what you sow. So what we think, it's very, very important, extremely important, our thoughts. If you think it toward a person.
Right.
It'll cause shipwreck. You know, and that person got to have, that person over there warned, that person over there got prayer warriors and everybody praying for them. That person going through on their body under all type of attacks, don't even know why. They went to the hospital 10 times and they can't find nothing wrong. Because of word curses, because of thoughts. They done went out into the atmosphere. If a good thought go out and God responds to it, what makes us think that when a bad thought go out, the same thing is not going to happen? And I'm not going to say it's God that does the bad, it's the enemy. We as a people will entertain the enemy's thoughts. I hope they don't make it on time, because I really don't want to see them anyway. that thought that went straight out into the atmosphere, into the universe, and that person has heard your voice say, I really don't want to see them anyway. And so guess what that person has done? They didn't bust a U-turn. They didn't turn around and went a whole opposite direction and call you and say, I can't make it. And you, oh, I'm sorry. I'm being realistic. So this is live radio. This ain't nothing phony. This is real talk. This is real stuff. We do this stuff. Oh, okay. Maybe next time. You really didn't care if that person made it or not. That person heard all your thoughts. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they was mumbling under their breath. They would open their mouth. Their heart. He heard what they said in their heart. And every time he heard them, he checked them. He let them know. Why do you say this under your breath? They look like, how do you know what we said? He heard their very thoughts toward him. So we're like Christ, and we're made in his image, and we're made in his likeness. He's the ultimate prophet, and we're prophetic people. Everybody's not a prophet, but everybody can prophesy. All we have to do is tap into the Christ that's in us, the hope of glory. So if we're prophetic people, then what makes us think that I didn't just hear your thoughts toward me? It's not God. It's not God. There's no way around it. There's no way to even justify this message. I've been dwelling on this for a while. I actually started writing a book about how we think.
Wow.
When God gave me the revelation of our thought and what it creates and what it forms and how it can either destroy or build. That was my response, Dennis, was wow.
Right.
And he had me share this with someone. And actually just give him a word of prophecy. That was a while ago. And they were very honest. And they were like, thank you. Because you don't know all types of thoughts been in my head all day. And I'm like, wow, you're right, I don't know. I just picked up the phone and did what God told me to do. Tell them to be careful what they're thinking. Because their thoughts are going out into the atmosphere. And those very thoughts wage war against people. Those very thoughts.
That's right.
And so we just have to just be careful, you know. We have to be careful. And I know I'm talking, but if you listen, if you desire to push one, I have no problem with stopping because, again, the name of the show is all about you. If you want to share, you can share because that's why we're here. But at the same time, God, you know, he wants us to be delivered from stinking thinking. He wants us totally delivered from that. Totally delivered from that. How our thoughts create all different type of patterns. And that each thought, whether it's evil or whether it's good, it holds the power. But the ultimate power is in the spirit realm with God, his power. And I know you're probably saying, well, I don't have his power. Tap into it. You have his power. These things you don't have to fight back. You don't have to say, well, I had to say it. Or they shouldn't have said it to me. Or I'm going to say something back. You don't have to. We don't have to. I'm pretty sure when that man seen, I didn't say nothing to him. he felt real silly. And he thought I was going to be intimidated. And he thought I was going to be fearful. But I just looked, because I really feel sorry for people like that. I really do, and I pray before he even leaves this world that he ends up giving his life to Christ and coming out of that thinking, coming out of that mindset. He's still stuck in the mindset back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. That's his mind. That is a totally different mindset. Now, I know he watched the news. And I know you've seen TV shows with blacks and whites together, all races,
oh, yeah,
all nationalities. I know he has. He may not be in agreement of what he sees. But it is what it is. Say, one going to tell me to get to the back. No, you get to the back. And I bind you. In Jesus' name. I don't do it in my strength because I don't have it. But I do it in the name of the Lord, the power of God. That, and this is another way how people don't give their life to Christ. The mind, the thoughts. We come to Christ is because our mind has changed. we no longer want to be sinners. We no longer want to be, you know, enslaved with the devil. But we want to be free in God. We no longer want that. So by faith, we give our life to Christ. By faith.
Right.
And then we ask God to fill us. We begin to read. We begin to pray. We ask God to fill us. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your Holy Ghost. Because I cannot live because my old mindset. You got to tear down that other stuff. You got to tear down them other, all that other junk that we created and that we, you know, that the way we were before we became in Him, new creatures. You got to go on the mind and renew that mind. And I want to talk about the other scriptures, and this is Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The mind has to be renewed. All the thoughts come up there. As soon as you want to go walk to the altar and give your life to Christ, the devil says, now you know, you're going to do this when you leave. Now you know that man ain't going to let you go. Now you know you ain't got no money and you still got to sell them drugs when you leave here. When the church gets through talking, they ain't going to help you. Now you know he began to minister. That's why when God deals with you, immediately you got to hurry up and get up and take that walk. Because once you make Jesus your Lord, you then are empowered to fight against those thoughts. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. You can't fight in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. That's what Paul said, right? Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Right.
Mighty through God and God only. He's the only one to do it. But you got to be born again. You got to be born again. You have to let God in the mind. You got to let him in your heart. You got to let him in your spirit. You got to let him in your soul. You got to let him in order for those things to happen. I have another scripture. Let me see. I'm loving it. God is good. He is good. He's worthy to be praised. Huh?
I know why you're finding that scripture, man. I like the fact that you elaborated on five, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. They're bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That was pretty deep. You know, I was sitting up here, you know, just scrolling along through the, you know, through our Facebook and, you know, to get people, you know, saying they hit me up and I'm answering questions, and I kind of scrolled through and I saw something on there, and it said pretty much saying that you're pretty much mad because they got promoted, and that like really gave me some like thoughts, because this person was a humble person and that I know of, and see, sometimes when you get in your position, God will bless you, but
right.
At the same time, he'll pull it away from you. So you thinking, like, you thinking that you're doing good, and sometimes, man, he lets you get a taste of your thoughts before he pull them away. So that really stood out with me. With it. And it goes right into six. You know what I'm saying? You know how it goes into that. And being ready to punish all disobedient when your obedience is fulfilled.
Yeah.
So you're thinking that you're being fulfilled in that law. You think you're being fulfilled in what you're doing. Thinking that you're being fulfilled in everything. Because what happened is the blessing becomes what you're worshiping. And you're not looking at God gave it to you. Yeah, you shake the hand on the promotion of God. But then you don't praise God every single day, thanking God for being in this position, thanking God for being in this promotion, thanking God for waking up, thanking God for allowing me to go, thanking God for allowing me. You know, you're not elaborating on it. So therefore, it'll be fulfilled, but when you be disobedient, you got to fulfill that law too. Because what's your blessing? Your blessing is to help each other get to where you at, if not better, so that way you can always be a blessing to somebody, or somebody be a blessing on to you, no matter how you look at the situation. You know, that's why I be tripping about how people get things twisted with the mentality, because, you know, people make you think that you're crazy because you're not feeding into the madness. And when you look at that, you're like, okay, well, this is not of God, because, you know, I don't feel sane being around this situation. So you got to defy yourself at times, because it'll make you think, and that person think, and that person think. So now you're catching on to it. So you kind of breaking it down, and that's where the captivity comes. The captivity comes around the negativity if you're around it. The captivity comes around the positivity if you're around it. You're going to be around whatever's captivity, what is captive in the mind. So there you go. Now you're thinking. But yeah, you hitting it dead on. I mean, I you know, I really appreciate that. You know, you really hitting it dead on.
The Lord,
you know,
is giving me that.
Go ahead.
I'm listening. No,
I'm not
in the rush.
No, I know you. No, I was just saying you know, you hitting it dead on, and you know, for the people, the listeners, you know, the faithful listeners. I feel like a person that listens every week, so a person that listens one time, you still being faithful to the time, you know, and that's what I look at a faithful person, period. You know, there's no big eyes, no little U's, you know, when it comes down to it's all about you. It's straight across the board. And I want to say to the listeners that when we think of, you know, titles and topics or whatever, you know, like Tiffany said, man, she She got to get that anointing from God before she even makes the move. Sometimes we won't even get the revelation until 10, 20 minutes before the show. Sometimes we won't get it 24 hours before the show. You know, and sometimes, you know, you got to think of it, you got 6 whole days to do what it is. And so that's how you know that it's coming from God, because of the message that it's bringing. You know, we all human. You know, he said it, you know what I'm saying? You don't put your trust in human, because, you know, yeah, if you put your trust in the human, then that means you're going to worship that human. You know, you're supposed to love that human just like you would love God, because they're doing godly things. Or even if, love thy neighbor. You don't know what your neighbor is doing, but you still got to love thy neighbor, no matter how you do it, how you do it, how you think it. But thinking, stinky thinking, is human, you know? Yeah. That's a human thing that we're doing. And I love the fact of how you breaking it down to where you saying it's okay, but let me show you a better way to change that around. You see what I mean? You taking the negative and turning it into a positive, and that's a good thing that you're doing, you know. And then you then not only that you breaking it down, you breaking it down into the real world. You letting them know, hey, this is what we're thinking about. You know, how many of us ever thought about that? I hope they don't come today.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How many people that you go to church, you're like, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. You were in church.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind ain't
and having those
on
very thoughts in the presence of God. in the presence of God and his angels. You know,
but people got to have a reality check on this, Tiffany, that the devil know the Bible better than all of us. You got to listen to how he twists up his words. He will twist them words up on you to make you do it. That's the power. It's you doing it. You have the power. So that's where the stinky thinking coming from. But go ahead, Tiffany.
Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking about me and my administrator. She lives in Florida. Her name is Mozella Robinson, bad administrator. She's been with me for the last couple of years in ministry. But she lives in Florida, and whatever I need, she's there, period, even if she's not here in the natural. But sometimes we do more texting and inboxing than talking on the phone, because of her time frame, they're an hour ahead of us. So when she up, I'm still asleep. When I'm up, she's in the bed. So our hours kind of conflict. So sometimes I'll send a text, I'll send an email, or I'll send an inbox, maybe the day before, the night before I go to bed, because I know she's going to be up before me in the morning. And so she'll see it as soon as she wakes up. And sometimes I can send a text or email or whatever I'm sending, and I'll send it really, really fast. And it'll look like I said a totally different thing, you know, I'm telling you, you got to watch some texts and those emails. And instead of her or even myself entertaining the thought of what the enemy said it said, she'll text me back and say, sis, are you okay today? You know, is everything all right? And then I'd be like, yeah, why you say that? She's like, yo, no, I just read the text. And I'm like, oh, girl, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I apologize. I was just texting fast because I had to hurry up, get off the phone, or I was going to break them at work. Whatever the case may be, me and her, our relationship, and I'm not saying that we are perfect and that we may not ever have a conflict or you know, or anything. Well, what I'm saying is when conflict comes, because we've had disagreements, but when they come, we both stop, take a breather, get quiet, and the other one asks, what do you think? And if both of us are overwhelmed, we'll talk about it and we'll pray. We'll pray and talk about it tomorrow. We're not making a decision. And we're not entertaining the thoughts. Oh, she just don't feel like doing it. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe me. I'm really kind of hard to to work for or work with because I like stuff a certain way. And I can remember she built did my first website. And she was so excited. She was done. And she said, "Are you ready for me to release it?" I said, "No." She's like, "Huh?" Like I bugged her all month until it was time to release it. She said, I said, "No, the Lord wants me to go back and reword some stuff. Because if I had to say, yeah, then I would have been sloppy. But God is a God of excellence." So she said, "Okay, sis, this your call. This yours." That's how we relate. She don't get upset and say, "Well, you know what? I've been working on this website, you know, for the last few weeks. You're not ready. Too bad." You know, she don't get in the flesh with me. And I don't get in the flesh with her. Even if she texts me and I'm in a bad mood, she'll tell you I won't even respond to the next day. I'm not replying because my attitude is not right now. And it has nothing against her. It may be something going on with my children. But my attitude, my spirit, man, it has to come in order. It has to be lined up with God. And my kids will tell you, I will close the door on myself so God can deal with me. And if I need to cry, weep, holler, scream, whatever I need to do, get it out so I can come back and talk to people in the right way, the right manner. He makes me apologize to my kids all the time. I'm looking like I'm the mama. And God don't care. Go back and apologize. You said that to him wrong. You responded wrong. You don't talk to, because he wants us to treat each other the way we want to be treated. And again, because we're in his image and his likeness, we are made to look like him. We are made to act like him. We are made to talk and walk and respond like him. So how are they going to see God in us if we respond in the natural, in the carnal, in the flesh? But we have to be born again because the Bible says the carnal mind cannot conceive the things of God. The carnal mind, that mind, cannot conceive the things of Christ. That's why we have to be spiritually, I have a spiritual mindset. We know what's right and what's wrong. We don't care. We have our cell phone on in church. The ringer. I'm not talking about it being on vibrate or silent. The ringer. And we know we are on our way to church, and we know we are in church. And if it rings, we grab it, and instead of turning it off, putting it back in our purse, "Hello?" You don't say hello. You don't answer that phone. And still don't turn the ringer off. That's not God. See, some of us won't let God deal with us. Just stubborn, stiff-necked, won't allow him to do it. Because you're your own person. But when you're in Christ, you are a new creature. So you're looking for him to make all things new. You're looking for him to change you inside out, not the outside in. Because you put on a long dress don't mean you changed. Because you got on a necklace with a cross on it don't mean that you have changed. He wants to change us from the inside out, that heart, that mind. As I was thinking about in prayer the other day, I was just like, "Lord, so many of us are going through. You know, we're going through this, we're going through that. You know, this person don't think nobody there for her because she's going through, and everybody going through individually because we're all in our own furnace. And he working the thing out in us personally." Not to say he don't have people to pray for us or therefore to stand in agreement with us, but because the mind, the enemy is tearing, because all the warfare and all the hits, the enemy is tearing you up. Now you done entertain everything he's seeing. You ain't got nobody. Ain't nobody there for you. You done prayed for everybody. Ain't nobody there for you. Now you ain't got this. You don't have that. You done gave the church this. You didn't gave the church that. You didn't did. I've done this myself in the past. Now you homeless. Ain't nobody there for you. And before you know it, the minute you say, yep, you done agree with the devil. And now he really finna come on in. You done let him in. The door is open. You done let him in and his friends. Now anger done came in with him. Bitterness done came in with him. Unforgiveness done came in with him. Now you don't want to talk to nobody. Now you just mad, angry, and bitter. Now you've taken it out instead of on one person. You done took it out on the entire church. I don't want to talk to none of them. I don't want to see none of them. All of them alike. Because this is these are the thoughts that the devil said. These are the thoughts that we have entertained. And our thoughts becomes our actions. Because how do you know? Your body language gonna tell it all. As soon as you see somebody from that particular church, you're gonna turn your nose up. You ain't gonna speak. They left me. They dropped me. When all the time you just in your process. There's a process with God. All the time you just going through your process. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and 9, it talks about the wilderness experience. And it talks about how he's God, right? He's God and he's God all by himself. We know he knows what's in our heart. Right? He knows everything that's in our heart. Why did he have to write it in the Bible, make sure it was written, that I wanted to, that I just wanted to, you know what, I'm going to read it. I'm going to start at chapter 8, verse 1. And he's talking about just remember him and everything we're going through. Remember God. He says, after I bring you out, remember me. He said, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart. Whether you will keep his commandment or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Okay, this right here lets you know who did it to you.
That's right.
Not the people. See, I was mad at the people. I'm delivered. I'm free. And I want to help somebody else get free. I want to get free and just, you know, and watch somebody else suffer in the same process, the process that I went through, and I know I can deliver them the answer. I can give them the answer that will help their situation so that they will not be walking, so they won't be in the wilderness even longer than what the process, you know, really allows. Because God, I don't believe he wanted them there that long. But he said, I brought you here to humble you. I brought you here to test you, to know what was in your heart. He knows what's in the heart. He wants you to know what was in your heart. And it was all kind of evil coming out your heart. All kind of evil thoughts. They ain't there for me. Don't nobody call me no more because I'm not answering and I'm not praying for them. Trust me, I know. That was me. I'm not praying for nobody else. Don't come my way. I'm not going to even let nobody know I'm saved. Do you remember Brother Dennis about a year or so ago, you walked up to me in the hallway at work, and you said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Hey." No, you said, "Can I say something to you?" I was walking past. I was like, "Sure." I stopped, turned around. You said, "It's a glow on you." You said, "It's a glow on you." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And you was like, "No, it's a glow. I seen this glow. My cousin," you said, "it's a glow." You knew what the glow was. But see, at that time, it was, what, over a year ago, I wasn't thinking about the glow. God will show him. He'll let people know who you are. You ain't got to open your mouth. He will allow people to know who you are. When I walked up, I'm like, "You know what, God, you're something else. You will be that light in the midst of the dark, in the midst of confusion, that light you don't even want to be." And because he's so merciful and he's so graceful, he loves us. Hey, he's like, "Okay, she'll be all right. She's just going through her process. She's just going through her wilderness experience. She'll be all right." It's because of her passion and her love for me and for people, though she say, "I'm not praying for nobody else." The minute you see somebody else hurt, you forget all about what you're going through, and prayer begin to come forth, because that's what's in you. That other stuff that was coming out was of the devil, was the hurt, the disappointment, the letdown, the abandonment, the loneliness, all those things that you begin to feel for being in the fiery furnace, for being in the wilderness. If you imagine the wilderness, it ain't many people out there. So, of course, you're going to feel lonely. If you think about a real wilderness, what's out there in the wilderness besides animals and beasts looking to devour you? But you out here in the midst of this wilderness by yourself. You think you're by yourself, but the Lord is with you. And because he's proving, that's why he made the wilderness experience, because I want to prove to them that I'm with them. So I got to put them in a place by themselves. Sit them in the middle of a wilderness where there's nothing but animals, nothing but wild beasts. No food, no nothing. But I'm going to feed them anyway. I'm going to give them a fresh manna every day. I'm going to give them a new word. I'm going to give them a fresh word. Because he said, "Man cannot live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," he speaks to you to let you know, day one in the wilderness. And you mad. "I done lost everything. From my husband to my car. From my car to my job. From my job to my apartment. I done lost everything. And now I'm by myself. I even lost my passion for ministry. And now the heart is talking because of the hurt." So he said, "Okay, I want you to know what's in your heart." But then when you got hungry, he said, "I still fed you fresh manna every day. I gave you a fresh word." And that word, because of that word, because that word is life, because that word is the bread of life, that word helped you go another step, another day. The next day, you woke up hungry and frustrated again. And some more things came out the heart. But he still said, "What? I ain't let you." What he said about the shoes? "Your feet didn't even swell. Your garments didn't even wear you out. Didn't even wear out on you. I still kept you. I still kept you. I knew you was going to complain, but I need to use somebody. And you said, 'Lord, yes, you can use me.' So when you said yes, I really know that you didn't know what you were saying yes to. But because I'm God, I got you. Trust me." And that's what he wants. He wants us to trust him. But he wants us to change the way we think, to change our thoughts, to change our thought patterns, to not think
the Bible says, think on those things that are good, that are pure, that are of good report, those things that are lovely. Think on those things. Why do he have to tell us to think on those things? Because he knows the other thoughts will come. He knows life will cause those other thoughts to come. He knows situations will cause those other thoughts to come forth. But if we stay in the Word, soon as those life words and the life situations and the chaos come up, we got a word to grab. Okay, Lord, you said think on those things, because right now I really want to snap. I want to think another way. But because the Word is in me, he said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against God. Because that word is in me, guess what? I'm not going to react the way I want to react. I'm not going to respond the way I desire to respond. I'm just going to say, Father, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You said to think on those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that have good reports. Grab something good to think about real quick. Immediately. So we won't form or create something different concerning another person.
That's right.
And now they're at home battling, going through all type of warfare. Why? They going through it because, and honestly, I'm going to be honest, it's really witchcraft. It's really witchcraft, because words are power. Every time we pray, say, well, there's two or three gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Then he'll turn around and let us know that word that you just prayed or spoke shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that you sent to do. So if that word is going to go accomplish what I sent it to do, then I need to be careful what I send. Because it's about to go accomplish that what I sent it to do. So then I need to send some. I need to send what I need. I need to go send a word over to my brother or sister that's going through. Strengthen them, God. If I could send some bad stuff, I could send some good stuff. So we need to know how powerful. I believe because he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And only because they reject it. He wants to give it. It's right here in the Word. But we reject it. He said, because you reject it, now I'm going to reject you. So I pray that even those that's listening on the phone will not reject the knowledge that God is giving on tonight. Because his Word says he's going to reject you. So we can say all day long, God, he blessing me. But you rejecting the knowledge, you rejecting his wisdom, you rejecting his word, and you stinking. No, he's going to honor his word. And he's going to honor the mouth he sent to deliver it. And he only sends it to save us. He sends his word to bless us. Just imagine if I thought, man, I changed my thinking. I've been thinking wrong all the time. That might be why my money held up. That might be why my house held up. That might be why my children can't get a breakthrough. Let me hurry up and change my thinking. Let me embrace and love those that God want me to love. And that's everybody. That's everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. So if he loved the world, that don't mean everybody in the world going to be saved. He said it's a remnant. But he still loved the world. So he wants us to imitate him. He wants us to love the world. It's something about when I came out of my wilderness, man, Dennis, I saw how evil I was. But I saw the mercy that I was sitting at the mercy seat. I was out. I saw the mercy and the grace that he had on me. And because he reached his hand and snatched me out, I said, God, I'm going to love the drug dealer. I'm going to love the drug user. I'm going to love the alcoholic. I'm going to love everybody that come my way, that you showed me. Lord, even if they have ill feelings or thought about me, I don't care. I'm going to love them. That wilderness experience was for me. It wasn't for me to judge them. That's how come we stay there a little longer. Because you don't come out until you get it. Soon as you get the revelation that this experience is about me. Oh my God, I didn't know I was that prideful. Wow. Oh my God, I didn't know I really felt like that about my sister or my brother. Oh my God, I didn't know all this hurt from my childhood was still sitting there. And when all that stuff come up, that's when it comes up. God wants it to come to surface on purpose. So you can say, Father, take it, heal me, deliver me, get this off me. I don't want it. Fill me. Make me whole. I don't want none of this. Every generational curse, every bloodline curse, every word curse, Father, I send it back to the pits of hell. You fill me with your spirit. Give me your blood, your DNA. I want to look like you, walk like you, talk like you, love like you. I want to be like you. I don't want to hate. I don't care if they don't like me. That's the face we got to get to. We can't worry about who like us and who don't, who accepts us and who won't. They didn't love Jesus. They didn't accept him. They plotted on how they was going to kill him, and they weren't playing. They knew who he was. Some did, and some didn't care who he was. They did not care. Let's get That's rid right. of him. He's got too much power. He's taking all our followers. That's all they was worried right. about. The spotlight on him.
Multitude.
The spotlight is on him. Get him away from here. He delivering people.
Something?
He healing them. He saving them. The Sadducees and Pharisees, hypocrites.
But what
stuck
he do
on the law.
He also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, I said what he do then. He also, he used their own stupidity against themselves.
Mm.
He asked them questions with their own questions
right.
and answers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes, man, he'll sit there in front of the people and he'll, you know, well, not sometimes. He sat there in front of the people. The Pharisees, Sadducees said, hey, this person did. To fear him. See, I don't know if I went out. See, what I'm trying to say is, when you're thinking, you not only that you are, like you said, you're manifesting, you know, into existence, but the thing is, when you know that you're doing this, how much of it is it that you're going to say, hey, look,
Let me stop. When? when enough is enough? When do we do it? When do we say, okay, well, let me grab my cross and go into the obedience of God and start taking that walk? Now, like you said, Tiffany, the path is narrow and only few may find it. So those things, man, that you know, that I know people that are listening, and these are the things that we have to ask ourselves. You know, when are we going to say, okay, it's time? When are we going to say enough is enough? We are human. We got the repent button. You know, some people still like to have fun and still do what they do. We can't judge that. That's not for us to judge. But at the same time, always sow that seed at them. You know, hey, you know, is this good? Is it bad? You know, those are things. And that's why I totally understand, man, when you go into that sticky thinking. So everybody out there, that's what we're gonna call it, is sticky thinking. So when you thinking something bad, that's sticking. Wow. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to commercial break and we're gonna come right back. Hey, let's check it out. You know the number here, 337-838-9106. Press that one button. If you have any... In fact, you know what? I'm going to play a song. That's what I'm going to do. Let's go.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
made it. Never could have made it.
Hey.
the website, www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.org for more information on events or speaking engagements.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Amen. 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 God is good. He is good. Yes, He is good. He is good. He will forever be glorified. I promise you, He will forever be glorified in spite of what? In spite of any distraction, in spite of anything being thrown, we send it back to the sender. In Jesus' name. And we're going to go ahead and continue to do what God called us to do. We are warriors. And He do stuff like this because He want us to get tired, punk out, and say, I give up. But He alive. We are warriors. We are made in God's image in His life. This God is a warrior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we got a what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I say you should. I say you, if you want to break it down, you can. Or if you want to go into prayer, you know how you get. You want that time?
Okay, I want to see if the listeners want to click the one before we go into prayer. It's up to you. I want to give them that. You know, I want to give them that advantage. I want to give them that time. I want to give them that option.
Right.
Remember, it's all about you. Because normally it's like when the first person gets the heart click one, then they start flowing, then we don't have the time for you. And I want to have the time for you. So I want you to get, you know, to break out of that shell, come out of, you know, being fearful and let God speak through you. Because you never know who you're helping. It's not about you per se, but when you testify, it's about the next person that's listening. It's about that one that you may be helping that you don't even know you're helping. And you don't have to know because what you're doing is glorifying God in the midst of it.
That's right.
You know, even in our very families, we feel like our family ain't there sometimes. Feel like they ain't supportive. We feel like they don't love us. You know, that is the enemy. That is the devil. Because he loves to cause families to fall out, to have dislike, you know, to dislike one another. That's God. God ordained family. He's the one that said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. Where does multiplication come from? Reproduction. He made the man and the woman to reproduce, go multiply, make duplicates of yourself, which is of him. Because again, made in his image and in his likeness. I got to stay with that because God is the foundation of why we all are here, why we were placed on earth. God is the reason.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Uh-huh.
That was me pressing one button. I want you to pray for me because nobody don't want prayer. I'll take it. You know, you can never get enough of that. So, you know, I'm definitely going to ask you pray for me and my family and the things that we've been going through because, you know, that's thinking as that's a generational curse. That's a thing of you know, people who you are around, you know. Sometimes you could be lonely and thinking, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
idle mind. That was pleasure.
Yes.
You know, so definitely I want you to pray for me, me and my family. Pray for the people, my friends. Pray for everybody in leading there, please. Oh, my goodness. Somebody hit that one button, too.
Okay.
Let's bring them in.
Okay, go bring them in so we can have time to pray.
Amen. 872-244, how you doing?
Hey, this is Denise Cousins. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I tuned in kind of late, and I heard you all talking, but I didn't know what the subject was about. But I heard push one if you want to get prayer or whatever the case may be. So.
Yeah, we were talking about being free from stinking thinking. And
oh,
so
okay,
we went
yeah.
to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I put 5, but we went 1-6, and we was really just elaborating on talking about how our thoughts have power. If we're not
yeah.
careful about what we think,
yeah.
you know, it will, the same thing the Bible says, and so, you know, if we think a thing,
so
he'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we
and
think
I
got to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with that, sis. I really do. And also, whatever the person thinks, they attract. So, yeah, I truly do agree with that. That's why we have to transform our mind with the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. Because, of course, you will think it, then you will do it. And when you do it, whatever you exercise, whatever you practice, you become. So that is totally true. And I've experienced that before, especially when I was a new Christian. You know what? I ain't even going to lie. When I was further in my faith, you know what I'm saying? I just had to break out of agreement with old systems in my mind that I brought into my salvation with me. The old ways of thinking, you know, as soon as, you know, things didn't go my way or I couldn't figure it out, then I began to curse myself by thinking certain ways, which will wind up, you know, pulling you into a pit and self-pity and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's definitely important for us to renew our mind and break out of agreement with that because that self-pity, you know, it just keep you in a dormant place, a dark place, you know, and that has nothing to
do
with the kingdom of God. So you're definitely right. I am in agreement with you that we definitely have to change our minds and the way we think. Because the way we think is what we become, and what we become and practice, you know, that becomes our identity.
And then at the same time, we were also just saying what we think about the next person. And then before you know it, we don't even know that our words and our thoughts, that they're not good. That person is under attack because of what you just thought about them.
Yes.
Because of what you just thought, it just went out into the universe. It just went out and did because the Bible says that our words, when we pray, even think or even speak.
Yeah. And that's the biggest.
Fall,
go ahead.
If he says that the word won't fall to the ground, but it's going to accomplish that he's going to do. So we got to be careful about what we're seeing.
Yes, yes, God. And that's so true because we are prophetic vessels. We are just like God. We are just like God. We were created in his image, and we can do what he do. We can create.
That's
we can have babies, create life. We have power over the enemy. We have dominion over him just like God do. We can speak a thing, and it shall come to pass just like God do. So we can't be confessing all these scriptures and stuff like that and then don't think it won't work for evil.
Come on, that's right.
You know, so that is the truth, and that's the biggest deception of the devil, that he will think, you know, I believe it, I receive it, confess it, and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as you start thinking a certain way, you don't think it won't work. It's witchcraft against a person, and you're not that prophetic vessel anymore. But the same rules apply. You know, the universe don't understand. I'm just playing right now. Well, I'm just mad. It don't understand that.
That's
you can
right.
still
That's right.
release the same the same thing. That's why it's king that, you know, I definitely teach my children how to think and stuff like that. But even after they pray, I tell them always to reverse every curse. You know, we reverse every curse because you don't know what somebody's thinking about you. You don't know what somebody's saying about you and stuff like that. So, you know, let every curse reverse into a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So you're right. You're definitely right. The way you think about somebody can affect somebody, especially if they're not real strong in their faith or they're not praying every day. And here you know the rules and regulations to the prophetic and the word of God, and you study, but then you don't want God to change the way you think, and then you think something evil about your brother and sister, and then it wind up, you know, happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true, Steph.
That's right.
You're right.
And even though you say you just logged on, everything that you shared is what we've been talking about.
Amen.
Practically everything you shared. And I thank you for pressing that one, for being brave to press that one. Because we know it's mother listeners, but they just probably a little fearful. But I know, you know, I want God to really touch their heart, because it's not a rebuke, it's a chastening.
Yes, it is.
It's a love, because God, He wants to bless, and that's the thing. I want to bless you, but I gotta deal with some things first, so that you can get the full manifestation of the blessing that I have for you, and not curse yourself. Because
yes,
I also talked about the principle of reaping and sowing.
Yes, that's
whatever
so
man.
Cool. Thank you.
So.
Yeah.
Whatever he sow, he should also reap. So, you know, we got to make sure that our seeds, our thoughts are seeds, our words are seeds. You know, we have to make sure that whatever seed we sow, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
Because
good.
It goes
good,
into the nostril of God, right?
Yes. Yes,
it goes
yes.
to the nostril of God, and we think we smelling good in His sight. It's smelling like mess.
Out of order. Straight
like,
out of order.
Know. Yeah. You stink to me.
Wow. That's good, sis. That's real good. I remember God told me one day I was praying, and I was, I thought I was being deep, real deep before God, right? So I'm praying and I'm crying and telling God this and telling God that, and being a tattletale, you know, self-righteous, you know, not saying nothing about me, just telling, and I'm crying and stuff like that, and after I got finished crying and praying and stuff like that, you know what God told me? I am not moved by your tears. I am moved by faith. And when God told me He is not moved by my tears, but He is moved by faith, it let me know that I have my own system and I have my own way of thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Thinking that I can, you know, God is moved with tears and faith, not emotionalism, you know.
Right.
And God had
right.
revealed to me that, you know, this is the way you think. This is your own system. No, I don't function like that. So I definitely had to renew my mind in His word and cleanse my mind with His word, you know, and begin to think a certain way. So because the way you think also enters into your prayer life.
Exactly.
I'm in agreement with you, sis.
Amen, and I thank you. I thank you for her faithfulness, Dennis. I mean, she's faithful. And she's not the only one faithful. They just won't let us know they're faithful.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to still pray. We're going to keep them up in prayer. We're going to continue to love on them. We're going to continue to bless God for them. We're going to continue to go before the throne so that God can drop fresh manna down in us again for next week. So next week we can come with some more revelation that's going to continue to deliver people and continue to bring them out of whatever bondage that the enemy, you know, desire for them to stay in. For those that want to come out, you got to want to come out.
Amen.
You got to want this thing. Now, for those that don't, God, I'm going to let you know He's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He ain't going to make you do nothing. He ain't going to make you repent. He ain't going to make you, you know, He is going to wait for you.
Yes.
He's going to wait for you. So, since prayer request, do you have a prayer request before we go off?
Who, me? Yeah, just continue to pray, you know, just to pray for my creativity and, you know, my business, my creativity, and, you know, my family. That's it.
Amen. Okay, well, just we're going to stand in agreement.
Amen.
Like you said, well, there's two or three gathered. He's in the midst. You ready, Dennis?
Amen, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, Father, we just want to thank you for tonight, Lord. We
yes,
thank you
God.
For your word, God. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love, Father, for your love hides a multitude of faults. And, Father, your perfect love casts out all fears. And so, Father, we cast out every fear right now in the name of Jesus, Father, as you pour your love out on every listener, Father. Pour your love, Father, out on everyone that's listening, for all those that's at home, Father, at work, wherever they may be, God. Let them know, Father, you chase those that you love, God. And so, Father, let this be a chastening on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, continue to deal with the hearts of your people, Father. Deal with us, Father. Father, in a way that you've never dealt with us before, Father. Father, bring us to a place, Father, of redemption, Father, a place of restoration, Father, a place of knowing, Father, that we are loved by you, God, the ultimate God, the true and living God, the creator of all creation, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I lift up Dennis' family, God, and I lift up the other families that's on the line listening, Father, that may not say a word, but Father, we lift up those families before you, Father, and we decree and declare that they shall be knitted together like never before, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against all division, all chaos, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against every bloodline curse, every generational curse, Father. We come against all this, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. Right now in the name of Jesus, Father, we decree and declare that you are Lord, Father. We decree and declare that you reign, Father. We decree and declare, Father, that you are Alpha and the Omega, God, that you are the beginning and the end, Father, that you are Genesis, Father, in Revelation, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, bless that one that's listening. Father, bless that one that says this is a hard thing that he's asking of me. Father, bless that one. In the name of Jesus, Father. Bless that one, Father. Give him strength, Father. Give him strength like never before, God. Encourage that heart, Father. Let them know it is not over until you say it's over, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, let them know, Father, that this thing they can do, God, they can do it through you, Father. They can do all things through Christ, which strengthen them, Father. So I decree and declare, Father, another fresh anointing of strength, another fresh anointing of power, Father, another fresh anointing, Father, of your manna, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Father, fall fresh upon your people, God. Father, I decree and declare that the healing gifts of the Holy Ghost fall fresh upon them even now, God. I decree and declare that they will surrender to your will, surrender to your way, surrender to your love, surrender to your word, Father. I decree and declare that you will arrest them, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. That prophet that's in the cave, Father, that event.